Hey, good morning, everybody. And, good morning to those of you that are joining us on, what do you want to call this? What?
Online.
Yeah, online, right. Okay. I guess I was thinking the word streaming, actually. But anyhow, welcome to all. I'm glad to be here with you. It's been a while. Brian and I go back a long ways. Your pastor, my son was 13 years old when we walked into his wood carving shop in Meriden, and my son had carved his first bird, and we had been to another shop, and God just stopped us on the way, and my son really wanted to go see the taxidermy part of his shop. And we walked in, met Brian. My son is 44 now. So 13 was the year. And we began a friendship and interesting years together. Those early years, Brian was a he called it his Christian sword. He used to love when Christians came into the church or into his shop, and he'd love to start firing questions at you. And it was a big puzzle that went to work that brought Brian to Christ. And I think I was the next to the last piece. Another pastor who went in for some wood carving lessons had the privilege of being the last piece plugged in. But that weekend, Brian and Meredith came to the Lord. And I remember speaking to a man at Costco that weekend on a Friday night and saying, he was a wood carving student, saying, if we Let's just pray for Brian really hard. Because if he comes to the Lord, he's going to be like an Apostle Paul. He's going to be out there storming the cities and everywhere he goes and everyone that comes into that shop. And it turned out he was and probably still is. Right? So my wife, Sandy, she's here today with me. And we have three other children, eight grandchildren. And I've been retired for 10 years now from Eland Park Baptist Home, where I was a chaplain and director of Christian ministry. And yes, Pastor, I've been doing those 5-minute devotionals since 1984, I think, on WIHS, and probably one of the longest going. So, but anyhow, glad to be here. I'm going to pray in a few minutes as I get going. But you see the title today, The Unknown Conquered with the Confidence in the Known. And we're going to look at the life of Joshua a little bit. I got 4 points that I'm going to cover. And I had hoped that you all might have a copy of that outline in your bulletin today, but we'll communicate it and talk it through. It's not there. See some of you looking for it. But I'll walk us through it, and you're going to probably think you're hearing too many sermons. I'm going to get going, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to talk about Joshua a little bit. But I want to just lay a little background here first this morning. So let me just start by this, by saying that the way to victory in the Christian life is simple. But let me explain that. The close the hymn we started with today, Trust and Obey, to me really says it all. It's the source of the hymn title scripturally, I think, comes from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And if you're like myself and you've been in church all your life, you probably learned this verse as a young kid in Sunday school class. Maybe you've learned it later in life. And you could say it with me, I'm sure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and let not your lean not to your own understanding. Trust in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your ways. And what a great promise it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's a heart trust. Sometimes we read the words of Scripture, and I'm guilty of this myself. Sometimes I read my morning devotions, and if you ask me at noontime what I read, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you. Sometimes it's just words going into the head, but it needs to be words going into the heart, that we have a heart trust in the Lord. So the way to victory in the Christian life is simple. Why do I say that? It really comes down to two things: trust and obey. We might say it comes down to 10 things, the 10 commandments. Simple, only 10 things, but if we break one of them, the Lord says we broke them all. But I can simplify this to say two things: trust and obey. And I came to understand who Jesus was as a young boy. I was 8 years old. I was at a Christian camp. And at that point, as a Christ follower, I entered what I call the school of obedience. And it's not my words. It's actually from an old preacher named Andrew Murray, wrote a book by that title. Some of you have perhaps read it, but the school of obedience. And we all enter into that school when we come to know Christ. But it's a school that we never graduate from on this earth. We only graduate from that school at the point of death, and hopefully we go to heaven, spend our years with the Lord. Otherwise, it's with Satan in hell, and we don't want to be there. We want to learn from the library that God's given us. And get this up here. It's these 66 books right in here. Pretty small library for school, but this book has everything we need to know in it. And so it's become my source of learning, and I think in my retirement, it's probably been one of the things I enjoy the most. When I was ministering at Heland Park, I'd have to be there sometimes early in the morning, and I'd kind of fly through devotions, and many times I'd say, "Man, this would make a good devotion to somebody, or this would be a good sermon." I really wasn't letting it speak to my own heart many times, but it's really that heart trust that helps us trust and obey. And lessons in life come to us in many different ways. But if we just had one book to read in our life, the Word of God, Peter tells us it's everything we need for life and for godliness. And it's the thing that can take care of many things that we fear in the world in which we live today. And lessons come to us in many different ways, many different means. It comes from the church, through personal study of the scriptures, through pastors, through Sunday school Bible study teachers. And you've got a great one. Pastor Brian is a great student of the word. And I know many of you know that better than I do because you sit under his teaching week by week in his preaching. But he became a wonderful student of this book and knows it well. I'm glad that he's here. I'm sorry I missed the installation or his celebration of the 15 years of ministry. And I had the joy of being there that day and helping to install him into the ministry here at this church. And we were out of town or busy that day and could not be here. But I know that he's been a blessing, and it's nice to see some new faces here and to worship with you and preach to you on this day. But school graduation time, some of you maybe have children that are graduating or grandchildren, great grandchildren. But this school of obedience, no graduation, no vacations, no time off, right? All the way to the end. God calls us home, then we have the privilege of being in his presence and fully understanding everything that he's given us in this book when we see him face to face and spend the rest of eternity in worship before him. Well, we'll either graduate to eternity in heaven, as I mentioned, or we will be separated from God for eternity. And I hope that all of you here today, many of you listening today, have come to know God through Jesus, who died for our salvation on the cross, died for our sins, and becomes that hope for us to help us through every unknown in our life with the confidence of the known that we have in our life. And we're just going to take some time to think about those things today. Jesus is that hope of glory and hopefully part of our story, and the story that we need to be sharing with others around us in our family. I do a grandparenting ministry, and I think our greatest desire is that all of our family, all of our grandkids, those that are with us now, and Psalm 78 says those who are yet to be born should hear God's word and carry it on to the next generation. And we have no idea when the Lord's coming, do we? Be anytime. But we need to always be sharing that story that has become ours. So this morning we're going to learn some lessons from this man named Joshua in the Old Testament. And thank Tom for reading the whole chapter to us. I'm going to spend time in the first 9 verses this morning. And we're going to zero in on four lessons, four things that I think we can take with us as we listen this morning and learn from his life. And excuse me for a moment here. Joshua didn't have the hymn that we sang, Trust and Obey, but I think he knew it well. Right, the words and the concept and theology of it, so that he went forth trusting and obeying God all of his days and all the way. And he had a tough job. He had to follow Moses, and for 40 years they were working the way to the promised land. And God turned it over to Joshua. It says in this first verse, after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. I love to tell my kids, there's one person in the Bible that had no parents. Joshua, son of Nun. Sorry. Moses' assistant saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. And so he now becomes the commander in chief of that tribe, but he's working under the real commander in chief, Jesus Christ, or God, as he's leading him. And God had already recorded to him that that land was filled with many wicked people, many walled cities, loads of fighting that they would have to do. And he didn't have people trained at West Point or the Naval Academy or the Air Force Academy. He had a bunch of men who wandered through the deserts, eating manna from heaven. Many of them didn't make it there, but generations through those 40 years made up that army that was going to be his to go in and take on this land that was a rather frightening thing. Lots of unknowns of what they were going to face as they went into that territory. And many false gods that were being worshipped during those days. We had just in our church done a study, men's Bible study on Ezra and Nehemiah, Haggai, and they had their many, many gods, and they might say that they're going to worship the God of Israel. But he just became, just like maybe the Hindu religion that has 3,000 gods, and Jesus is just one of them. And for these people, they might have said, some of them, yeah, we're going to follow your God, Joshua. But they were still holding on to their idols, their false worship. And so he had a battle ahead of him. And it must have been a very frightening time for Joshua in many ways. But he was a leader who was ready to trust and obey. So we're here today. We're alive today because God's given us life, given us breath. He's allowed us to be born at this very time in history. He knows where we live, knows our address, knows why we're here. We might struggle with all that's going on around us in our country, around the world, and yet God has placed us here for such a time as this. And if we can hold on to these two simple things, trust and obey, and get through the rest of it until God calls us home, spend our days with Him. And we never know when that time is going to be. Life can be short. We had a friend named Dolores who had fallen and fractured her hip. She was in a rehab in Meriden. And a doctor came in one morning and he said, "I'm going to fill out your discharge papers for you. I'm going to go home tomorrow." And he did what he had to do. He walked out, shook her hand, walked to the door, turned around and said, "God bless you. I hope everything goes well with you." 6:30 that night in the airport, that's really just behind our house, he died in an airplane accident. And she was just so taken that in the morning there he was saying, "God bless you, goodbye, hope all is well." By nighttime, he was dead. He crashed. We never know what a day, the unknown, even in this day, it's unknown from now to the end of the day. I thank the Lord when I open my eyes in the morning and I know I'm awake and I have life and breath. And thank the Lord at the end of the day that made it that far. But we only can go one day at a time, right? We need to go trusting and obeying and being a part of that school of obedience, learning, taking in all that we can, not just in the head, but in the heart. Because God's word said it's that inner strengthening of His spirit that gives us the power and the strength to go forward. Lots of unknowns in which in the world in which we live and the journey that we're taking through it. So we live in a world that's become a mess in many ways, characterized by terrorists, by terrorism, all part of our landscape, changes how we approach travel and public transportation, how we go to the malls, worried about our kids going to school. Now it's just engulfs us. We're looking over our shoulder all the time. The words that are implanted in our heart, if you see something, say something. It's just a world that's a mess, filled with unknowns when we walk out our door. Yeah, morning. And when we enter the day, worries that we carry with us. A world that's full of danger like we've never experienced before in our life. And the only thing that gives me real comfort, as a little kid, I remember being taught about end times and what was going to be going on in the last days. And I believe we're living in them. And a lot of the only thing that gives me comfort is to see a lot of the scriptures coming alive during these days that we're in. But we know the end of the story, right? And that's the thing that keeps me going day by day in this book, this word that God has given to us. So, we could talk all day about the things that are terrible, we don't like, and are bad around us, but we really need to focus on the one who is sovereign. And by His grace, has put us here, knows every moment of our day, every second of our day, knows the end from the beginning, and will walk with us through it. Excuse me. So we need to just hold on to one verse more, okay, from the New Testament. I'm going to pray, and we're going to take these points from Joshua here. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power." Speaking of God here, where does the power source come? Through His Holy Spirit and the Word. Says His divine power has given us everything we need, everything, right, that we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him, Jesus, who called us by His own glory and goodness. So that puts the vertical relationship in place, the horizontal in place. And where does it all center? At the cross. You got to keep coming back to the cross. Because that's where Christ defeated Satan. Satan's the one responsible for all the mess that we're in. But Christ is the one who will get the glory. One day, hopefully, we'll be with Him. And all this stuff will be behind us, but God will help us through it. Let's pray. Josh, Father, we thank you just for these few moments today to look into your word and to learn some things, hopefully, that we can take with us. Maybe we only need to hear one thing this morning. There's no way we can hear everything and take everything that's said today, things that you've put in my heart and in my mind. But Lord, if just help us not to miss the one thing that you might want us to grab onto and take with us as we leave this place this morning, as we go back into our work week and into the days ahead, knowing that if we're focused upon you, we have you in our heart, in our life, a relationship with you through Jesus, knowing our sins are forgiven, a knowledge of the Word of God, this library that you've given to us, not only the written word, but the living word. We can get through everything that we confront. As tough as it might be, to know that you're there for us. So, Lord, I just want to give this time to you now and to pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would use it however you'd like to do it. We just want to give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Moses is gone. Joshua is now the man in charge. He's about to step into the greatest battle of his life. He's had spies who've gone out and come back and said, you know, it's kind of a scary place. It's giants. There's all these walled cities. There's a lot of power over there. And 10 of those spies said, we're not going to do it. But there were two who said, God will go with us. We're just going to trust and obey that he's going with us, Joshua and Caleb. And they stood firm. They held firm. They held on to their God. And they knew that he would take them through it and take them through the tough days. And he's going to spend 7 years doing this, leading his people in warfare on their way to the promised land that God was directing them to. 40 years earlier, when Moses sent him and those 11 spies out, now it comes to that point where they've got to cross at Jordan, you know, but until they stuck their foot in the water, God didn't open up that water. And sometimes it's the same thing with the Word of God. We might read things that we don't fully understand and say, I don't know if I can do this, but it's when we step into it and do it and just take that word that it comes alive and we understand why God has given it to us. And maybe it's not for right now, but just telling a grandson the other day, we have a grandson living with us right now for a while. And I told him he learned loads of verses on Awana. And they really stress memorization. And I said, Jacob, you know, if I asked you, took one of those verses and said, give it to me, but you might not remember it. But I said, when I go to a hospital and walk down a hall and I have no idea what I'm coming to in the room, I'd be praying to say, Lord, you know, just bring a word to me in that room for whatever I find. And many times I'd have to say, I'd get in there, get talking to the person, and a verse of scripture that I didn't even remember that I remembered anymore pop up and come back when you needed it most. So you got to stay in this book day by day and let this book instruct you. You're going to trust and obey. So, frightening time. They were going to face the unknown, but they were doing it with confidence in the known. Joshua had been spoken to by God. He knew that he was going to be with him. These two men, Joshua, Caleb, stepped out in faith instead of fear. And when everything around them could have caused great fear. And you and I need to face fear as Joshua did, trusting that God is there with us and that he's not going to let us down and that he's going to walk with us and surround us with his presence, with that inner strengthening of the spirit, power that we need for everything, for life, for godliness. But we need to not just read this word, but then pray that it's implanted in us and that we use it for his glory So what did Joshua know? The first thing he knew is that God was in control. He had that great assurance. In verse 2, God says, I'm giving them to you. Then in verse 3, he said, I have given you them. So twice he emphasizes that he's there, that he's with them, and that he has everything under control. And that Joshua just needs to keep his eyes fixed and focused upon him, his commander in chief, and that he will help him to lead the people, give them the victories that they need. Not going to happen overnight, but day by day, God will be in control and with him. So not only does he say, I've given them to you, but you know, two times, if something's emphasized a couple of times, quickly in a couple of verses, we should listen to it. Because God's trying to impact us with something important that we need to listen to. And if you hear it three times, like, holy, 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 it's like, God, really pay attention, because he wants you to listen closely, and grab on, hold on to those words. He knows every detail of our lives, every place where you and I place our feet, where we step. He had told Joshua, every place you step, I will be with you. And so, Psalm 37, verse 23, says, the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. So he's a sovereign God, a God who knows about every day of our lives and knows what we need. And we just know that we need to trust him no matter what is going on around us, what unknowns we might face in a day, things that might frighten us or scare us or make us uneasy. God is the one you and I need to hold on to. I've always, the next verse after that in that psalm says, though you fall, though man fall, that he will lift him up and send him forth again in that psalm, Psalm 37, 23, and 24. So we need to know him, to trust him, no matter what's going on around us, and know that nothing, nothing at all escapes. He sees it all. I used to love those old pictures. Remember the first space flights when they're flying up and they'd show the camera in the picture and you see the Earth, you know, fall down below them, you know, and couldn't help but think of the old song. And he's got the whole world in his hands. And he's got every one of us individually in his hands. Knows where we are, where we live, why he's put us here at this point in history. Design the families that we have, good for bad, for whatever. But we need to be the ones trusting, obeying, being that light in the lives of the world around us, in the family that he's given to us. So God's not sitting up his hand, up in heaven, wringing his hands, wondering what to do, what he should do for us, with us. Got it all under control. Isaiah 46, 10 to 11. I've got a number of scriptures, and we're not going to turn to them individually. If it's take us too long, I'll read them to you. He says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, but is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. It's Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. I want to write it down. I used to use Jeremiah 29, verse 10 at each birthday of my kids as they were growing up. Many of you know the verse. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil. They're with us continually. And Joshua knew that God was in control. Number two, he knew that God would be with him. Verse 5 says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. We know that verse best from the New Testament, don't we? The book of Hebrews. I will never leave you or forsake you. And the Greek translation there says a whole lot more. I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. So it's not a passing thought, but he's emphasizing in the Greek language there that this is a never, never thing. He's there always continually with you and with me. The last words of someone who's dying are pretty important, aren't they, in our life? And maybe you've shared some last words with a parent that you've lost or someone in your family. Those are words that we hold on to. And what are some of the last words that Jesus gave to us? For I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Joshua knew that God would be with him. The Apostle Paul could have spoken to Joshua. He might have said this: don't worry about the walls, the giants, the battle plans, and bring Romans 8. Are you still in Romans 8 in your class? Yeah. And it's taken 15 years to get that far, right? So Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? And Joshua knew. He didn't know those words from Romans, but he knew that God personally was with him. Wherever he went, would always be there. And not only did Joshua know that God was in control, but he knew that he'd be with him every step that he placed on the ground, said in the scripture reading. Every step, he'd be with him walking all the way. Joshua, number three point here. He knew he needed to be strong and courageous. Three times in verses 6, 7, 9, and then in the last word that he gives in this chapter, only be strong and of good courage. Last words that Tom read for us from the chapter this morning. Be strong and courageous. And verse 7, he emphasizes it even more. It says, only be strong and very courageous is the word that's put there with it. So God was speaking to him continually. God was encouraging him. God was there for him. And Joshua knew that he needed to be strong and courageous, not in his own strength, but in the strength of God who went before him and just surrounded him with his presence. Courageous means to be stout, strong, to be alert, to be bold, to be solid, to be hard, but it's another way of being strong in the Hebrew wording here. We Finns, I'm of a Finnish background, Hävermäki, and we have a word in our culture called sisu. And sisu is a word that probably has 27 different meanings. But you could talk about perseverance. You could talk about just an inner strengthening of persistence. Maybe the word that might explain it is, it's having chutzpah, that inner charge to take on anything. And if you read the history of Finland, you'll see those Finns, they took on Russia. They did some tremendous things, not necessarily because they were letting God lead them. God was just gracious to them as a nation. But that word sisu, it's really that inner strength that brings you through anything. And Joshua had that sisu in his life, that courage, that strength that came not from who he was, from who God was that follow and listen to. Philippians 4:13, it's a verse that many of you know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And whenever I read that verse, I think of a man named Bert that lived at Eden Park for some 20 years, maybe, had cerebral palsy. He'd walk down the hallway with his cane sort of at an angle and hobbling down. And if you met him in the hall and say, "Bert, how you doing today?" "I can only do this by putting my tongue at the top of my mouth." You'd hear Bert with a smile on his face first and then say, I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. And he'd then just have burst out, big smile. And this man, I'll tell you, the background and the history behind him was absolutely unbelievable what God did for this man with the problem that he had. God walked with him and gave him a strength and joy in the Lord. Joy of the Lord was his strength. Showed on his face, was in his testimony, and it was a story that really should be written down somewhere, because God was so much present with this man. But he knew it was all because of God. Jesus was strengthened day by day. Well, in spite of the challenges he had, he made it through it and had a wonderful smile of confidence. Because even in the unknown for every day for him, he had his faith and confidence in the known that Christ was with him, God was with him. Holy Spirit was giving him that inner strengthening that he could get through each day. Well, we don't know a lot of things about the journey we're on in this kind of dangerous world we live in, but we know Christ is the source of our strength. Again, in Isaiah 41, 13. We read, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." But you can only know that strength and that courage best as you are assured that God, through Jesus, lives inside of you, that your sins have been forgiven, and that you're a Christ follower who has the Lord living right within you, giving you that inner strength that can take you through everything that you face in your life. And this only happens when you confess your sin. We're all sinners, says God's word. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he forgives our sin, past, present, future, because of what Jesus did. We said earlier on the cross. If you haven't come there, try to find your way there because it's the only thing that will get you through each day. The unknowns with the known. And Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Help us to think right, have wisdom. Get us through the things that we need to think about and face in our life. If you went to another passage of scripture, Philippians 4, some great verses there. In verses 8 and 9, there are about eight things it says we should think about. Go home and read them sometime during the week. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, think on these things. And the end of it says, God will be praised and get the glory, and then you'll get the strength. And way to handle all of life and godliness, as Peter reminded us. So as you as we kind of wrap this up here today, Second Corinthians, let me read from here. Paul's word when Paul had to face some things in his life. He had to face some pretty hard things. Again, if he could have spoken to Joshua, he would have said the words he heard, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, or persecutions, in difficulties. When I'm weak, then I'm strong." When we can't do it in ourselves, that's the place where God comes in. When he gets us to our knees, that's the place where he begins to work. And that's where we find our strength. Don't rely on what you don't know, but rely on what you do know. By reading this library of books, God's word. Well, one last thing here. We know we need to be obedient. The Lord told Joshua to make sure that he was careful to obey. two times in verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Well, he had a careful to do everything, a careful spirit to do everything in God's law, in God's word. And one of the marks of discipleship is really to follow God. Let him be that commanding officer in your life. Let him be the one who directs and guides you in everything you face. Be quick to pray, quick to say, Lord, just help me. Give me a verse of scripture to strengthen me, fill me, and to give me what I need for this moment. Lots of unknowns, but we have a commander who knows the end from the beginning, every moment in between, things we're struggling with, and that we get his instructions in this word, his promises. Told to meditate on them day and night, according to verse 8. And then to trust him enough to obey and follow his word by faith, whether we understand it or not, to remember that he knows where we're at and what we need. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. We read in a devotion just a bit ago, when it comes to the Bible, don't just read, do. Well, I've had several occasions where I've had to believe God's word and go forward trusting what I know. I remember one of those times was when I had my gallbladder surgery. You know, I often thought about this as a pastor, standing at the side of a bedside. And I used to think as I walked out of those rooms, you know, I'm on this side and I can go in and encourage, read scripture, pray. I wonder how I'm going to do it if I'm on that other side. Well, my day came. And I'm gallbladder and decided to come out. I needed to come out. And I remember getting into the operating room. And the surgeon was a man that I had met and I knew in my hospital visits. And Sandy had some work done by him. And so I said to him before they started, I said, so you guys, some of you know I'm a chaplain, I'm a pastor. I said, can we just have a word of prayer together before we do this? And I said, well, it can't hurt. Go right ahead. So I prayed with them all before we started. And his first words out to Sandy, and my worry was, you know, was it going to be the easy laparoscopy, or you have to sign the paper and sign your stomach away that it can cut open if needed to be. My first words were, was it the easy one or the hard one? His first words to Sandy when he came out of the room was, how could anything go wrong? Glenn prayed for us. So good to know the Lord is our light and our salvation, knows what we fear. And I feared that in a sense. He said, and I, you know what this helped me to do now is to, you know, it talks about God giving his grace when we're dying. And that simple lesson in that hospital bed, God's giving his grace to maybe a fear that I had, you know, what's going to happen when I'm in the other side of that bed? God took care of it. And I know that he'll take care of it at the other end. I don't know. None of us know how we're going to get there, right? But I'd like to die in our sleep, as a very dear friend of ours did a few years back. And we could design it, but we don't know how it's going to happen. But it helped me to understand he'll give the grace. Basically, we have relied upon this word, we trust it, and we obey it, we trust him, and allow him to fill us with his presence. And Joshua, James, verse 4:8, let me just end with this. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So when God comes near, he'll chase away your fear. And fear knocks at your door. We're using a bulletin once that said, let faith answer the door, and fear will go away. So take this message of Joshua with you today. God's in control, always be with you. In him, you can be strong and courageous. And life goes best when you're obedient to his word and to his promise. Hold on to the one who promises to be with us, surround us with his presence. Hold on to a scripture, a verse you heard today, and maybe it spoke to you. If nothing else did, grab it and take it with you until God takes you home. Trust and obey. I remember I titled this message, similar message in some past years, The Simple, Most Difficult Thing to Do. Trust and obey seems pretty easy, doesn't it? But it takes a lifetime of school of obedience to really learn how to use it and put it to work in our life. And I don't think we'll ever learn it fully until we get to heaven and see Jesus and live in his presence where everything will be different. Everything will be good. And thank the Lord that we came to know him. Have the joy of looking at his face. Well, now let me pray quickly and I'll pass her up to close the service. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that what we've said today seems very easy, trust and obey. We also know it's very difficult. Takes a lot to remind ourselves each day to let you be a part of our life and to walk with you through everything that we face in our life. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd help each of us here now to take something that your Holy Spirit has laid upon their heart and that it would just be helpful and give that inner strengthening by your Spirit, whatever is going on in their personal lives, their work lives, family lives. Lord, may they just give it to you continually, read your word continually, live by your promises, and go in your strength. Pray this all in Jesus' name.